Hello, and welcome to Spotlight On, the podcast that brings together business leaders, entrepreneurs, and experts covering a range of topics. I'm Nicholas Barton, founder and CEO of the Barton Partnership. We're an award-winning executive recruitment and consulting solutions firm providing permanent search and independent consulting services across strategy, sustainability and M&A, data and analytics, and transformation and change.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Spotlight On in conjunction with IBM. Today, we meet with Dave McCann, the managing partner for IBM Consulting for Europe, Middle East and Africa, as well as being the president for IBM Consulting Canada. Over the course of his career at IBM, Dave has led many consulting services teams, including IBM's cognitive consulting business, cognitive process transformation, IBM's SAP practice, IBM's Client Innovation Center for Nova Scotia, and industry leader for the Canadian public sector. Before moving over to Paris and accepting his new role, Dave worked with IBM Canada clients spanning all industries and geographies coast to coast. Throughout his career, Dave has mentored hundreds of consultants and teams, particularly early career professionals, sponsoring the next generation of leaders. Dave, thank you very much for joining me on this discussion around generative AI across the enterprise in Europe.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess starting off, as the managing partner of IBM Consulting for Europe, Middle East, Africa, as well as president for IBM Canada, I mean, where do you see the greatest impact of generative AI in European enterprises?
So I think the first place I would start is trying to draw a comparison from what I saw in North America and what I saw specifically in Canada. So, you know, over the last 12 months, if you will, in 2023, and how that's kind of shaped my first 2 months, if you will, now that I've moved to Europe and I'm leading our Europe, Middle East and Africa business. And I would tell you, two or three similarities, which has kind of shaped my view. The first is it's at the top of every CEO's agenda, almost in the exact same way in the Americas as it is in the EMEA region. Okay, almost no difference. I think the second thing is the level of maturity we're seeing from enterprises is almost at the same place. You know, one could argue certain industries, one could argue certain size of companies, you know, maybe slightly ahead of others. But if you think of a broad group of clients, you know, if I was to talk to 20 clients here versus 20 clients there, they're talking about many of the same things, which I think is really interesting. And I think there's a huge awareness right now, you know, with American clients, but now very specifically with European clients, that this technology is ready to use, right? So we're having really serious conversations. You know, I think almost every conversation, Alex, starts with talent. And you're in the talent business, so you know this better than anyone. But this is about what does the future of work look like? What work gets done a certain way? How will work get done a certain way? And what are the right skills to do that, right? What's your talent strategy, skilling, et cetera? You think about what our clients are going to market with. You know, I think many of them, you know, continue to see people as a critical part of their competitive advantage. But we always talk about technology being that driving differentiation on competitive advantage. I think obviously Gen AI has provoked that competitive advantage conversation even further, especially when you think about product experiences, customer experiences, the way you deliver solutions to your end state clients or citizens, the amount of personalization and expectations that are provided. They're the maybe simpler to talk about, but harder to do conversation, which is, how does it change your IT landscape? How does it change your business operations? You know, how does it change your security platform? How does it change the way you modernize the core of your business? So maybe starting with a big answer here, Alex, but I would say in summary, seeing a lot of the same things, which I would tell you is really encouraging. I think we're seeing all of our clients or almost all of our clients say it's ready and we're ready. And now it's about how, where, what do you do to start? But along all the same themes, talent, clients or citizen experience, and then how do you make sure that you're continuing to transform your competitive advantage both internally and externally?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting starting point. You mentioned it's the top of every CEO's agenda at the moment. As you've started, obviously, your day job, of course, you'll be talking to all of these people in EMEA and as you were in Canada. How do you see CEOs embracing AI right now? What's the approach?
You know what? I see more and more CEOs embracing generative AI by going deeper. Okay. What do I mean by that? I would say a conversation maybe a year ago today, Alex, was very much CEOs heard of it. They knew what it was to some degree.
Absolutely.
It was on the top of their list, but they were asking a lot of questions. Okay. Now, 12 months later, I think you're having discussions with CEOs that care more about the data inside their enterprise than they've ever cared about it. Where it is, the quality of it, how secure it is, how trusted it is, because they've been educated. They've been working really hard to understand this. They're thinking every day about their talent. You know, I think almost every conversation with a CEO right now has a reskilling element and has a marketplace talent discussion in it, which I think is really, really interesting. And then I think they're also, you know, some of the CEOs are even talking to you about model versions, which is highly interesting. They're like, oh, have you seen this new release of this model? Or have you heard IBM last week, you know, release this new model? And I think if you forget about who's releasing what models where, I think there's this appreciation that all of our CEOs, or almost all of our CEOs, see the market moving incredibly fast. And they're saying, for me to really follow this, I need to be into the details. I need to be understanding what's going on. And I need to make sure I'm moving at that speed. And I would tell you, I'm highly encouraged. You know, 7 out of 10 of the world's most innovative countries are in EMEA, which tells you I feel like I'm in the right place. And I think the technology is in the right place. So I think there's a lot of really interesting potential on the horizon right now.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, isn't it, with such a landscape which is evolving at such incredible pace, but then you've got the enthusiasm of the adoption of generative AI, which is tempered by concerns around security and the evolving regulatory and ethics landscape. Given the importance of sort of transparent AI practices, what steps do you think CEOs should be taking to ensure the use of generative AI adheres to these guidelines and, more importantly, complies with the regulatory standards across Europe? Because I would imagine also from a country to country perspective, it can be somewhat of a minefield if you don't do things in the right way first time.
Yeah. So I think of the way CEOs need to think about this from less of a what's the step in a project to more about what's the culture? What's the broader approach? What's the principles of our organization and how will they lead to the way that we think about enabling and transforming with this technology? We've been talking to a lot of clients about this idea of building trust at the core of everything they now build, right? How do you know that every piece of data that you're using is coming from a trustworthy source? How do you know that the models that you're using have been trained on data that you can trust? How do you make sure that you're able to talk to clients or customers or citizens about transparency and explainability? And you get to this place where it's not one or two steps on a project timeline. It's not one or two things you need to do. It's kind of at the core of everything you do as you think about transforming. So we've been talking to CEOs really about this concept of building trust in everything you do and using that as a cultural enablement principle as they think about the transformational journey. You know, I would tell you, we've been in a differentiated place to have this conversation. You would have seen when we announced our WatsonX products, WatsonX.ai, WatsonX.data, and WatsonX.gov, it was very deliberate in our strategy to have .gov, okay, which is our WatsonX governance version. Because our job as IBM, working with some of the world's largest corporations and governments, is to be their trusted partner. And we needed to make sure that we took a very differentiated view of the way we delivered our products and our transformational services to our clients with our software and our IBM consulting services. And I would tell you, it was foundational for us to build trust at the center of everything we do. And that's what we've been talking to our clients about. Now, not far from that, and you brought it up, is the security discussion, okay? I would tell you the security discussion is an incredibly interesting. If you think about security almost from two standpoints, we talked earlier in this discussion, Alex, about the fact that Gen AI models are changing every day, every minute. The security landscape is changing every day and every minute, right? And CEOs, forget Gen AI for a second, are thinking about and worried every day about, you know, security and specifically cybersecurity for their organization, as they should be. So I think that that topic is becoming a really interesting synergistic topic with Gen AI, because the advancements of generative AI technology is radically changing the speed and success of which you can think about your organization's security posture.
And just going back to that point around security and privacy, obviously it's a top priority for businesses to implement AI. What do you think is the positive role that AI can play in security when deployed correctly?
I think at the end of the day, the simple answer is the following. It will help make you more secure, more effectively. Easy to say, maybe harder to do, Alex, but at the end of the day, I think what AI and generative AI brings to the table is allows you to totally transform the way your security posture exists inside your organization with tools and with the way skills and humans interact. And it's going to give them this unique advantage that they've never had before, which should increase your security posture and decrease your cost. Let me give you some really good examples. You think of the role of a security analyst right now. Now, security analysts have tools, they have skills, they have networks, they have communication. But a security analyst empowered with a generative AI solution in addition to that radically transforms the output that a security analyst could perform, the effectiveness, the coverage, the speed. You think about a big part of the world of security is being able to predict. And the predictive opportunity around generative AI is significant. So you think about the differentiation that's going to continue to evolve with tools and technology in the security landscape. It's massive. And you combine that with, you know, we talk about it frequently, and we just published a recent report on it. We talk a lot to our clients about the cost of a data breach. And I'm sure as you've seen, Alex, every year, you know, the data gets worse, right? More data breaches and the average cost goes up and up. So if you really think about the need of how do I disrupt frequency and increase cost? This is a big part of it. And it's not just about what you can do with tools and tech, but it's about how you transform your skills and people as well. And security skills, I think, as you know, you're in the business, you know, more than I am for finding talent. They're some of the hardest people to find. And you're going to have to continue to think about how we transform the way we build talent.
Absolutely. So looking back, 2023 was a year of a lot of conversation, a lot of exploration, and a lot of testing, really. And it feels like 2024 is expected to all be about deployment and adoption. What do you think are the real examples that companies can think about and look at?
Well, I think there's a lot. Yeah, I would say, you know, what we were really excited about as we saw our client engagements in 2023 and as we see them growing in 2024, we have more clients than we've ever had using the technology. We have more clients than we ever had prioritizing using IBM, both for technology and consulting in the way they transform their business with generative AI. And we have more clients than we've ever had saying, I'm ready to start now. Now, I think there's still a big opportunity in front of us, but I think your question is perfect. We are now in the world of real solutions with real value. I'll hit on a few of them. WindTree, you know, one of Italy's largest telcos. We implemented an AI and automation solution. Okay, so how do we think about completely transforming the way they resolve claims? You know, this is an organization that gets tens of thousands of claims, you know, forget just changing the human experience around that, but how do we automate rapid resolution of the claims? Well, you know, with the discussion we're constantly having around automation, that a lot of that can now be done with tools and systems. But what's the accuracy? How fast? How many of the claims can it take over? The power of putting generative AI together with automation completely changed the way you can analyze claims. You can enrich claims, and the resolve or resolution rate of claims goes down. You know, leveraging WatsonX and IBM's automation platform, just in a matter of this one project, okay, this one project, we're able to get over 10 times faster speed of response time for claim resolution, and they're able to process more than 10,000 claims incrementally per month, okay? So 10 more thousand claims get closed 10 times faster. So, you know, that's the power of automation plus generative AI using WatsonX. Another, you know, shifting industries from telco to bank, I could talk about Credit Mutuel, okay? One of France's leading banks, you know, I think many, many know it. They've got, I believe, over 5,000 branches right now, and they get something like 350,000 online inquiries a day, okay? So a ton of these online requests happen every single day. And what do they care about? Well, of course, they care about solving the requests, but they care about the quality of the experience, you know, the relationship they're building. They want to make sure that as they grow their customer base and these requests grow, that they're able to adequately solve them. So to them, quality was at the core, right? And they looked into this problem statement. And I think as you and many others would guess, they have a ton of their, you know, really important talent working on repetitive tasks with relatively simple, repeatable outcomes. Right. So this was an awesome opportunity for us to use our Watson Assistant technology, which is really about, you know, that virtual agent type dialogue, if you will, expanded with WatsonX, to think about how we completely change the engagement model and help resolve client inquiries. This had massive, massive help. So if you think about a client advisor now talking to a customer, instead of taking hours potentially, or, you know, long periods of time to resolve a claim, they quickly go into the WatsonX solution that we were able to build them, the WatsonX Assistant. They're able to resolve it much faster. They're able to dialogue with the client directly. And it's completely transformed the way that they're able to have 20,000 plus advisors, you know, be probably 50 or 60% faster in dealing with hundreds of thousands of inquiries a day. So these are the real examples, Alex, that are now real, and they're happening in every industry.
It's interesting you talk about operational efficiency like that, and it probably leads us quite nicely into our next question. According to McKinsey, AI can help unlock $4.4 trillion annually in productivity gains. What investment are companies required to do to benefit from these productivity gains? And how do you think CEOs and CFOs should think about it?
I think as you add the investment layer to your question, Alex, it creates a really interesting discussion. As you think about what's a priority for almost every CEO this year, this idea of productivity, probably really strategically thinking about where you place those investment dollars, they're probably harder to come after than we've ever seen them, especially depending on where you are in the world right now. I don't think that that's taking away the incremental investment we're seeing on Gen AI. We're continuing to see growth and incremental investment on Gen AI. But I would tell you the main thing I'm thinking about as CEOs look to enable that four plus, you know, trillion benefit that McKinsey talked about, is starting now, and you have to tie together the short and medium term productivity with the business case. And, you know, we should have a long term productivity conversation in a second, but let's start with that, which is there's real potential for an investment in generative AI to have a return in year, sometimes have a return in quarter, okay, or over the next few months. So the question is how do you make sure that you're challenging your team to say, hey, listen, if we're going to spend $10 here on this generative AI investment, it can't be a $10 payback in year three from now. I think in many cases, it could be, you know, a $2, $3, $4 payback in a very short period of time in year, which completely propels the investment cycle. And if CEOs, which I think they're getting into the details, and I think they're feeling that the technology is ready now, it's about them moving. Okay. But I don't want to lose track of the long-term theme, because as you think about it, this is not a play for just productivity gains, okay? And this is not a play for just in-year productivity gains. I think this technology, as we've all talked about, and the reason why, you know, yourself, myself, and many others are spending a big part of our career working on this, is it's going to radically transform the way businesses do business, the way citizens get experience, the way we live our life. There's going to be material mid to long-term investment that needs to be made here, but that needs to be balanced with the short-term investment.
Thanks very much. And that leads me into my next point around the workforce, which is always an interesting conversation from an executive search firm to a business leader. With the rapid changes in the workforce due to generative AI, how is IBM under your leadership navigating these transformations in terms of skills development and adapting the workforce in different regions?
So it's interesting, and we should debate this actually. I look forward to having a longer conversation with you on it.
Yeah, but likewise.
I think it starts with skilling and then hiring versus hiring then skilling. And it's interesting, you know, I'm you know, joining you today from London. I'm in London with my leadership team, with some of our best global experts, okay, skilling. And this is not training program number one. This is in course number three. This is the fact that if we don't get together every few weeks or every month and really understand what's changed in the last few weeks and touch and feel what's going on in the business and make sure we're sharing the latest developments of what's happening in the technology and what our clients are doing, we won't be able to keep up, right? So this need of constant reskilling to me is at the core. Now, I think hiring plays a big factor, okay? And I put that together because I think they're complementary, and I think you would probably agree with me on that. But how do you have the best of what's going on in the world if you're only just skilling your own people, right? There always has to be this external complementary strategy to the way you build talent. And as you know, this is some of the most high demand talent right now. So I think you have to be leading from the front on both sides. I think at the end of the day, we can't lose track of the fact that in almost all businesses, I won't say all, it's never the case, but in almost all businesses, people will remain a critical part of the competitive advantage. We can't lose track of that. And I'm a big believer, and I think IBM's a big believer, that this is a technology that will support and enable humans. Okay. And I think it's humans with tech. I don't think in most circumstances, it's going to be a technology-based answer without a human-led component. So I think as we think about the future, I think it's always going to be this conversation where people and technology come together. And I think it's going to have to be cultural. You know, I talked at the beginning about culture. I think this idea of, does everyone in your organization understand that they need to be aware of what's going on? Does everyone in this your organization understand that they need to spend, you know, a period of time on a regular basis investing in themselves, transforming? I think that's going to be the organizations with this culture that are going to lead the pack. So to me, I think the only way we're going to see rapid changes in the marketplace is those types of rapid changes in workforce. But I don't think that that's a mass exit and a mass entrance. I think it's led by skilling, complemented by hiring.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I guess that leads us quite nicely into our last question. So looking forward to looking into your crystal ball, Dave, what would you think would be the topic or the one topic that should be in every boardroom agenda for the next few years? And I appreciate that's quite an open and vague question at the same time.
Well, and maybe I'll start with a less strategic fun answer and move to a more strategic fun answer towards the end. Okay. I think maybe less strategic is the wrong way of shaping it, but I definitely think competitive advantage and value creation, ROI, that's going to be at the center of the boardroom table for the next 24 months. It can't be. If we're making transformation this year, it can't be without that conversation, making sure that the boardroom is steering the organization, guiding the organization the right way. I think there's going to be more transformation than less, right? As you said, things are about to continue to bubble up in the marketplace around what organizations are going to do. That's going to drive that level of governance in the boardroom. I think the second big thing is, I think the role of organizations partners, and I really mean the word partner, not vendor, is going to be key. Because I think the elevated role organizations like IBM will play in helping corporations completely reshape their competitive advantage and drive value are going to be material. And as I think about what I'm doing with my clients, it's really about being the partner that they see for the long term as the person that's going to guide them in this, you know, material transformation of their organization. And I think that that's not just going to be me. Most of the time, it'll be IBM and others. You know, I think it's really a big ecosystem play. I think the trust topic, you know, we hit on it a few times today. I think that's going nowhere. But I'll leave you with maybe a more fun one towards the end. I think we're going to do in the next period of time together, Alex, a quantum discussion. Okay. And I hope that I get invited back to have it with you. But I must tell you, I think that's going to be the next level of this dialogue. We're already seeing the technology. Quantum computing is real. It's in the market. We're talking about a lot. And, you know, we just hit on security a little bit today. The security dynamics of the quantum conversation are incredibly interesting and going to be very core to boardrooms thinking about things like quantum safe encryption. You know, so these are going to be big topics. Okay. So the themes aren't going to change. Some new technology, I would say, is going to continue to add itself. But I'm excited. Like I said, I started this discussion with you today to say I think the future is incredibly bright, and I honestly feel that way.
Well, thank you, Dave. And I'm very much looking forward to having that next conversation with you. But I caveat that by saying, I think I've probably got some studying of my own to do before I'm in a position to have that conversation. But that brings us to a natural close. And thank you ever so much for taking the time to share your perspectives and with both me and us and our audience. And just wishing you and IBM every success for 2024 and beyond.
Alex, absolute pleasure. I hope you have an amazing day. And thanks to all the listeners out there. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks ever so much.